90.5 FM, WJFF, Jeffersonville, New York, and 94.5 FM, W233 AH, Monticello, New York, and streaming live online at WJFFradio.org. It's 3 o'clock, and it's about 78 degrees here at our studios in Jeffersonville, New York. Stay tuned for the WJFF Open House.
Support for this program comes from our listeners and from the Fat Lady Cafe, lunch and dinner on the waterfront in Conneaugh Lake, New York.
All right, so this is WJFF's Open House, and here on Community Radio, we have a we're very fortunate today to have a wonderful live performance in store for our listeners. We have a singing-songwriting duo. Barnaby Bright is here in the studio with me. And this husband and wife duo are so handsome. I wish you could be here to see how nice they look. But you know, this songwriting duo is really dedicated to their career. From what I can see, they have been recording and playing, and they recently appeared at a performance at Bethel Woods, which is how I found out about them. They are the New York Song Circle contest winners for a song that they wrote called Don't Look Down. That contest was back in November of 2010. And so we have Barnaby Bright here with us. Nathan and Becky, why don't you say hi?
Hello, everyone. Our listeners out there, we're so thrilled to be here, Kathy.
You're so welcome. So they've just come in their car and they've unpacked about, five different guitars and a harmonium and all kinds of interesting instruments here. But let's get started with the song. They're going to be playing the song that they won that contest with, the New York Song Circle song. This song is called Don't Look Down, and this is a live performance here in our studios today. So we're hoping that the levels sound good. We'll be adjusting it as we go. And on the fly. So here they are, Barnaby Bright.
Just want to say this was a song. I used to make a humble living as a saxophone jazz musician a few years back and decided I was going down the wrong road and that I was raised on folk music, and what was I doing playing this jazz stuff? So this song kind of tells the story of driving from Boston to Los Angeles in search of the perfect song, and kick it off.
I tried to console you.
is. Wow, that's really a moving song.
Thank you.
That's really fine. So, how did you write that song? Do you share the songwriting credit on that?
No.
How does that work?
That one's mine, but we write together, and sometimes we both write, but that one is mine and is an experience. As I was mentioning earlier, driving from Boston to California before I ever met Becky.
Mm-hmm. Oh, before you two even met.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess he got the credit on that one.
Definitely.
Yeah, but without that voice singing it, you know, who would...
Well, you know, I've never seen you perform before, but there's something very, there's something incredibly immediately physically recognizable when I hear you perform together. It's a very engaging experience. It's a very open music, very open. You know, the whole singer-songwriter thing, from what I read a little bit about on your website, which I believe is barnabybright.com, is that right? You've both been through the music university education process, which is, I think, really kind of unusual. A lot of people in this genre, you know, they don't go through that type of training. Mm-hmm. But I think that what it does is it gives your music a strong structure, a different musical platform from a musician who doesn't know how to read music. You know, like Nathan, you studied jazz.
I did. Yeah.
And so you mentioned trying to go from jazz to this type of music. What did you mean by that?
Well, I was playing saxophone. And
he was amazing, by the way. He was one of the best jazz saxophone players in New York City when he was living there.
Thanks.
Should hear him play.
Well,
as you might imagine, it's hard to sing a song with a saxophone in your mouth, so that kind of music doesn't really lend itself to matching words with chords. And the more I learned about sophisticated harmonies, the more my heart wanted simpler, just triads and more basic harmonic motion.
Ah.
So it's almost like I felt I was just going down the wrong path, and it was becoming a very intellectual kind of music, and I really wanted to play from the heart and to write for the heart.
So it was kind of a combination when I said about that structure underneath the music. You know what I mean? That is not going to be enough of an expression for you. That single melody and then all those ninths and thirteenths. Oh, my God.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, but, you know, Becky, you're also have been to a university and you're a vocal performance major. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I was very, it's funny. I was so clear on what I wanted to do my whole life, but I went through a period where I was very lost. My mother's an opera singer. So I just grew up in a household where music was like a second language, you know, just, I played piano and I sang my first solo on a CD when I was 5 years old. It was just, I knew I wanted to do it my whole life. But when I graduated high school, at that time, I didn't know of any universities where you could major in folk singing. You know, it wasn't anything that I'd heard of. Maybe there is now, or maybe I was just singing.
I don't think so.
But so I thought, well, the only option I have to pursue singing is to be a vocal performance major, which means you study opera. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, a great experience in some ways, and I still really enjoy going to the opera, but I do not enjoy singing it. So I was my 4 years in college were kind of confusing and kind of sad, and I felt depressed a lot because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, but I didn't really figure that out. I think the day I graduated is I instantly started singing in bars. My parents were like, "Wait, what are you doing?" But it just took off.
Well, now here's a question, because I also have studied singing and studied voice and have kind of straddled a little bit of those two worlds, you know, the classical repertoire. And then let's face it, you know, Joni Mitchell. Oh, my God, please. So one of the things about the way you sing that is so beautiful is that you're not dependent on a microphone. You have a very natural resonance. And in the classical training, you know, there is no electronic equipment involved. Mm-hmm. You learn what it's like to match your voice with a flute, to sing with a piano, to sing with a guitar. And I'm wondering, you know, that even though maybe Puccini or Mozart really, you know, just didn't speak to you, the technique of singing, is that something you feel that you took with you? Or?
You know, it's interesting. It is.
4 years
isn't.
Is a long time.
Yeah, it is, and it's funny because my first year I studied with a teacher who tried to completely change my voice, and I spent the next year rebuilding what she destroyed. So, it was difficult. But honestly, I wonder sometimes, because I hear recordings of myself when I was 17 and 18 singing this style of music that I'm doing now before I studied, and I already have like a sound that isn't so much different than I sound now. I've matured, obviously, and maybe that is partially in part due to my education, but I don't know. I think there's a part of me that's just, this is how I sound no matter what I study, you know?
So there you are. You haven't met each other, and then you're both off in that ivory tower world, and then you bust out the day you graduate. You discovered, oh my God, let me out of here.
Yeah.
You know, let me get to a place where people are going to be sitting relaxed talking. Because and then there you are, sax player, jazz. Oh my God, I just can't find any expression here. It's all too intellectual. So you're both like looking for your heart connection, for your heart song.
Absolutely.
And then tell us how you met each other and was it on, you know, did you sing together on your first date, you know, or what?
Yeah, well, we didn't sing together, but we played music together.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was living in Kansas City at the time, and I was just playing in bars, trying to make a living, learning about songs, seeing what hit songs felt like under your fingers, and just sort of taking the chance to learn how
cover
it all
music,
goes.
Mostly.
Cover music. And Becky, you walked in, I think I was playing bass in the band that night.
A booking agent introduced us, yeah.
And the singer, cute singer came up and asked if she could sit in with the band, and we're like, oh, sure, we get about 20 of these a night, you know, sure, okay, whatever.
Oh.
And then she asked for Superstition, wasn't it? Stevie Wonder's Superstition. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a often asked one to sing with. And then from the first note I heard out of your mouth, Becky, I was like,
oh, wow.
Who is this? This is something special. And then we started playing as a duo in Kansas City bars, doing cover music, and slowly we started sneaking in originals here and there.
Mm-hmm.
We played together for about a year.
So now I'm curious, Superstition? Oh, come on.
I know.
An acoustic duo? I'm just curious.
Isn't that funny?
Well, this is a band.
What type of other covers did you do?
Oh, we did everything. We did some Joni Mitchell, I think, and we did
with
Dido.
A full band, you're talking.
Sometimes, mostly it was just the two of us in bars. But Kansas City is a very, you know, you had to kind of play to your audience. You had to know your audience and play to them. And they wanted dance music that they could dance to. And we occasionally would do a slower song like a Simon and Garfunkel or something like that. But we played together for about a year, but we were both with other people at the time. So we didn't get together right away. But we had fallen in love. And then I moved to New York, partially to kind of distance myself from him and the whole scene.
All the heartbreak.
And then
the heartbreak of it all.
I lived there a year, and then he came out for a show, and we'd since split with our respective people, and we're married the same year.
Well, you know, we're about to hear some more music in a minute. I know we're chatting away here, but I'm just really curious, when you got to New York, were you in Greenwich Village? I mean, did you ever go through the folk scene in Village, the Bitter End, that whole thing down there?
That was, I think, our first gig at the Bitter End.
Oh, my God. All right, so, you know, singer-songwriters, there's just something about that that experience of going through that environment in New York. And so that's where you started to really become a couple and to compose together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How wonderful. So now, when you write songs, do you write them together? Do you write separately? How does that work?
I think usually one of us will carry an idea for a while and sort of get it as far as we can to be like, look, I don't know how to finish this. What do you think? And
oh, that's sweet.
Becky often helps me finish a song that I've been carrying around for a while.
I'm like his editor.
but sometimes, you know, the songs are done. Often Becky will play me something. I'll be like, yeah, that's perfect. I don't know.
And vice versa.
I don't want to add to that.
But
so you know how Lennon and McCartney, it didn't matter who wrote what, it was always Lennon and McCartney. I know you like being compared to that. So do you share the songwriting credits together as a couple?
I think it says on all songs, Nathan and Rebecca Bliss. And then for those who
are
interested,
like
I think if you go to the lyric insert, it'll have
say.
More like who wrote what exactly. Mm-hmm. But as a general blanket, we just say, we just write them all together.
So here we are on WJFF's Open House with Barnaby Bright, and I feel we're really lucky to have this couple with us today because they are traveling everywhere. In fact, after they leave here, they're headed to a festival in Belvedere, New Jersey. What's the name of this thing you're playing tonight?
It's called Buffstock.
Buffstock. Yeah. And they've recently, according to their website, they've just booked some dates over in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And so these people are all over the place, traveling around in their beautiful car with all these gorgeous instruments. So let's see if we can ask them for another song. What would you like to play for us?
Do you want to do Gravity?
Okay, we'll do a song called Gravity. This is how we first met the beautiful folks at Song Circle was in 2009. We were in the final 12 with this song.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first song that that I ever heard of Nathan's that I just fell in love with. So it's a special song for us.
All right, so this is Barnaby Bright. This is their original composition, Gravity, live here in our studios. Lovely. I hope our listeners are aware that this is a live performance We're so pleased to have Barnaby Bright with us in the studio today. That was the song that they wrote together called Gravity. So is that song available on a CD? Have you released that song?
Yes, it's on. It was released as a single on iTunes, and then it's also on an EP that we just released, about six songs on it. And it's on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, Rhapsody, Pandora, all that.
So let's see, Barnaby Bright, how do we spell that? B-A-R-N-A-B-Y, Barnaby Bright. Mm-hmm. You can download that song on iTunes. In fact, I discovered that, you know how Amazon is such an important influence in music today. They have selected Nathan and Becky Bliss, who are Barnaby Bright, as the artist on the rise for this month. So, you know, you can download them online, but you can also just sit back in your chair this rainy afternoon and listen to them sing to you as we come into your homes here with a live performance in our studios.
And if you go to Amazon.com, you can download the song we just played, Gravity, for free off of their website as well. They're giving away a free download of that song for the whole month.
Well, you know, there's something about being familiar with an artist. I couldn't help but notice that incredible guitar technique that you have. On that song, Nathan's pretty much playing the guitar. On the first song that they performed, Becky was singing and also playing a harmonium, which is a wind instrument, kind of looks like an accordion on its side. And now she's got a ukulele in her hands. So it's a multi-instrumental performance. I'm just really curious, before you do another song for us, that guitar technique you had. Now, if you heard that slapping sound, what he's doing is he's reaching across and hitting his guitar and doing all kinds of interesting crossovers with his hands. You know, like flamenco guitar players, they slap their guitar and stuff. It's kind of something like that. I'm very curious. Did you ever hear a guitarist called Michael Hedges?
Oh, sure.
Because that very reminiscent to me.
Absolutely.
Of that style.
Yeah, he's a huge hero and influence to me.
All right. Yeah. Well, then, you know, I could hear it.
Yeah.
I could completely hear it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just curious. You know, you mentioned that you heard music growing up at home. Who are your favorite singers? When you go and you want to get inspired, who do you like to listen to?
Well, you already mentioned Joni Mitchell. She's incredible. Patti Griffin is a more current artist. Her songwriting is just unbelievable, unmatched by many people. The Beatles, of course.
Wow.
I grew up, I'll never forget seeing the movie Help. My dad got it for Christmas when I think I was 8 or 9. I just fell in love. I was hooked from that day forward. So those are just a few.
All right. Well, it looks like they're ready to do another song for us. What have you got in store?
This is one that we haven't recorded yet, but we're working on our CD at home. Nathan, besides being an amazing songwriter, musician, and singer, is also a recording engineer. We have a studio at our home, and he's engineering the whole record at our house, and we're working on that. We don't get out much these days, so it's really nice to be in public here
with you. Oh, because I have the impression that you're, like, traveling and performing all over the place.
Well, that's pretty much all we leave the house for anymore, it seems, is just to get out and do a performance once or twice a week, and then...
And then back home recording, and then out singing, and then so it's like it's music all day, all the time.
Yeah,
that's a good day.
Well, okay. I keep saying, you know, they're about to sing, but I just have one more question.
Sure.
Just one more. I'm curious. You know, you're saying you're recording at home. Are you? You know, there's a movement now. Are you familiar with the band Arcade Fire? Have you heard them?
Sure.
At all?
Yeah, we love them.
Okay,
that.
So now they're very big into vinyl recording. They're trying to avoid a digital loop. They do all kinds of analog type equipment when they record, and then they actually, their very first pressing is on vinyl, and then that's all the digital comes off of that. What's your recording philosophy at home? How do you record?
I would love to take that approach and be all analog.
It takes money.
Records, but
it takes money.
It's our at our stage that we just don't have the money to do that. Mm-hmm. It's a lot cheaper to.
And did you hear that, listeners?
Yeah.
They need money.
Yes.
Download their songs.
Yeah,
go to iTunes.
If we could record everything on, you know, an analog board, going to 2-inch tape. Mm-hmm. On a Studer machine and then print it to vinyl, that would just be...
See, he knows. He knows what he needs here.
Yeah.
All right, all they need is some money. All right, so let's hear another song. What are you going to sing for
us? This one is called I Love You Softly, and this is one that I wrote. When I first moved to New York City, I didn't make a big splash on the scene. It takes a while to get acclimated to things and meet people. So I worked as a nanny for a very rich family in Soho, and It was a rough job, but the saving grace was she had this huge toy room full of toys, and one of her toys was a little guitar, a little kid's guitar. Oh. And so at night, after I would put her to sleep, I'd sneak in there and play her little toy guitar. And I actually wrote the song on her toy guitar,
and
which
so,
is why we do it on the
hence
ukulele.
Hence the ukulele.
Exactly. It just seems right. It seems fitting. So anyway, this is called I Love You Softly. Yesterday morning I woke up and wrote down your name in the book by my bed. Each night I pray I might wake up and find that you've drifted from my head. But much to my dismay I see your lovely name 100 times in my book. On every line there in my book, hundreds of times. Trying to balance the depth of my love with the way that you'd like me to feel. Maybe someday I can master the way you pretend what we have isn't real. But much to my dismay, I see the look upon your face is all of my love, clumsy and loud, swallows you up, watches you drown. And I know that you're hoping I'd sing all my songs just a bit more sweetly. And I know you'd prefer that I give you my heart a bit more discreetly. Well, I wish I knew how people calmly announce over casual coffee that no one ever taught me how to say I love you softly.
Beautiful.
I apologize to listeners everywhere for the out-of-tune ukulele. I forgot to tune it up before we started.
Oh, well, you know, that's just really, that just melts my heart to hear that. That's so charming. And you wrote that on a toy guitar in a child's room. There's a certain openness to it, innocence to it. It's so beautiful. All right, so I'm Kathy Geary, and this is WJFF's Open House. Once a month, we have live performances here in our studio. And today we have, actually, these people are married. This is a husband and wife, Nathan and Becky Bliss, and they are called Barnaby Bright. Okay, so here's a question for you. You know, the last name Bliss, I mean, people change their names to get a name like Bliss. And so you could have done, you know, names involving that. So, Mike, you see what's coming. You know, Barnaby Bright. Barnaby Bright? What is that about?
I'll let Nathan tell you that story.
Nathan can tell
us
that story.
Well, we wanted to be the Bliss Tones, but there was already a band called the Bliss Tones.
No, the Bliss Tones. Yeah, you see, I was thinking the Bliss Ninnies, but no.
Oh.
And then with the Bliss Family Band, we tried to work it in. I didn't want to just call it Becky Bliss, but Becky wanted...
I didn't want it to be a girl's name. There's so many artists that, you know, I just wanted to have a band name because it's both of us. It's not just me.
You know, there's something about the performance facade of a name for a band, you know, outside of just a performer's name. Like, look at Chrissy Hynde. You know Chrissy Hynde, an amazing American singer-songwriter. She's been the Pretenders for her entire career. I mean, she just recently hooked up with a new musician. But, I mean, you know, she could have gone out as Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a beautiful statement about how you two work together and how you make your music together. Yeah. So
the actual name is the summer solstice for so June 21st, the longest day of the year.
Well, that happens to be my birthday.
Oh, no way. Yes.
Actually, June 20. I always close to the solstice. Not quite. Close.
So it's very
Barnaby
close.
Bright Eve is your birthday.
So Barnaby Bright, is that a British...
Yeah, it's a medieval English term for the summer solstice, longest day of the year, back when everything went along the Feast of the Saints, and it was the feast day of St. Barnabas. So it was known by local folk as Barnaby Bright, the longest day, the shortest night.
And Nathan found it in some old book.
Fables and Phrases, old dictionary I came across in this little old book.
I love it.
I love it. The name really suits. The name really works.
And Becky Bliss, you know, it's a double B.
BB, so Becky Bliss, Becky, yeah.
But the funniest part is that Nathan had this.
Well, I too, Kathy, wasn't sold on the name, to be completely honest.
Really, Barnaby Bright?
Well, I think it's cool, but, you know, maybe we should just call it Becky Bliss, whatever. But then I had a dream that night, and this is a true story, and if you've ever, you know, some of our fans have heard this story before, but it's true. I went to bed, and I had a dream where Bob Marley appeared to me in this dream. Not all of them, just his head, just a head
that's,
in a circle
that's
of,
enough,
of smoke, backed in light. Mm. And he said, "Nathan, Barnaby Bright, it's a good name, man." And I woke up. And I said, "Becky, I think our name is going to be Barnaby Bright, because I just had a dream where Bob Marley told me that should be our name." So we stuck
That's
with
wild.
It because of that weird that dream I had.
Well, you know, over time, the sound of the name of a band, it changes over time. How it first strikes you, after a while, it just becomes like another a word. It takes on its own unique meaning, and which is what's happening for me as I'm hearing you sing, you know, Barnaby Bright. Really nice.
Thank you.
So Nathan is sitting here with a beautiful Gibson, and Becky's got some kind of maple, a Taylor. Oh, it's this blonde maple guitar. It's such a girl's guitar.
It started off as his guitar, though, so be careful.
You know, but you see, I could see why you would, like, take it over.
Yes. It fits me, yeah. But he's the main guitar player. I help just back him up, make him sound good.
Well, you know, everybody brings their own special gifts to everything you collaborate on. So tell us, what would you like to sing now?
I guess we'll do one called Reverend Son. This is a tip of the hat to Gillian Welch, a songwriter that we love, and she has a song, Caleb Meyer. And we kind of take that opening melody, which I think goes back to a clawhammer banjo tune, if you trace it back far enough.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of spun our own story about the son of a reverend in a small town, falls in love with a lady of the night, and his pop ain't too happy about the developments here and the struggle that he has to go through to be with a woman he loves.
Shame, Papa likes to preach about throwing no stones, for throwing them every which way. grow too weary from walking this life. All of my life I've been doing what's right, and I must keep on towing this line. Ain't no fun for the reverend son to carry that family name, for the woman that he wants to marry. Speaking of this family shame, God, but like a priest, God, throw no stones, throwing them every which way. Everybody knows her name.
Great energy. What a wonderful energy. That's Barnaby Bright, live here in our studios on WJFF. All right, so this songwriting duo, as I mentioned earlier, they recently won the New York Song Circle contest, and I discovered that back in 2007, there was an international songwriting competition, and you heard of Tom Waits. He was one of the judges. And they placed as one of the finalists in an international songwriting competition. Like, that's almost 4 years ago. And the name of that song was If I Came Back as a Song. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was that like for you guys? Now, that was in 2007. Were you already married at that point?
No, we weren't even married yet. And we'd only done maybe a couple of gigs. And
wow.
It was a song that Nathan had written and recorded previous to us getting together musically and romantically.
And I remember not wanting to. It was your idea to submit it to the competition.
I'm actually the one that submitted it. Nathan hadn't even planned to, and I submitted it, and then got an email a while later and said, "Hey."
So it was totally online. You went and uploaded it, and then you just got an email saying, "Hey."
Yep.
Well, you can submit a variety of different ways. We did it through Sonic Bids, electronic EPK or electronic press kit that's kind of common these days.
Yeah. That had to be, like, so validating.
It really was.
That must have just, like, changed everything.
It really was, because I'd left jazz and I'd left everything that I knew and kind of worked so hard for so many years. And, you know, it was pretty rough starting all over again. And
I wasn't sure I made
the right choice. And
How do you just forget what you've learned? Did you tune your guitar?
Well, switch
funny?
Instruments is a great way to start.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't know. I can't tell you what's going on the guitar exactly. I mean, I know the sort of spatial relationships, but I didn't want to learn it. I wanted to be as open and raw as I could coming to this instrument, feeling like I kind of got older.
So the whole time you're in the university, you never play the guitar?
No.
Because you're really quite an accomplished guitarist.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm learning all the time. It's an endless process
of
learning.
And right now, he's learning the banjo.
I'm obsessed with clawhammer banjo right now.
Well, you mentioned that you thought this was a clawhammer banjo tune.
Yeah.
So the subject matter of your songs, American topics, I'm curious, I feel like you're at the beginning of a long road in front of you. And, right now, they haven't really been signed to any kind of major label. You know, the music industry and the music business has changed so much in the way that people actually become heard and people establish their careers. So, for instance, I just did a program earlier this afternoon, The Music of Tim Buckley. And then the music of Jeff Buckley. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that musicians always encounter in their career as it grows is you come into direct face-to-face contact with a person called a producer. Mm-hmm. And when a record label or other people in the industry become interested in you, they step in and they want to, all of a sudden they want to like, gee, what can we do to make these people more commercially successful?
More sellable.
So, you know, I know a lot of artists struggle with that. And I'm wondering, you know, you might be in a position that a lot of people in the decades past were not in, and that you might be able to independently bring your career to a level, you know, without having to go through some of those music business obstacle courses. So, you know, I'm not sure what my question is. What's your reaction to some of those ideas?
Certainly. I mean, we have a small label that we're working with. We have a small label we're working with now called Mishire Music, and they've been helping us a lot getting our music on the radio. But of course, they let us have complete creative freedom, and we've produced all of our records ourselves, and really want to keep it that way because Nathan is a great producer, and I have a few ideas here and there.
We get the job done.
Yeah,
so.
We get the job done, and
because we have to.
Of course, there's that pipe dream of having someone like T-Bone Burnett.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Album.
Are you listening, T-Bone?
Yeah. But that's probably not realistic for imminent future. Yeah. So we're keeping things in the family for now.
Well, it used to be that they had they would develop talent over the years, wasn't it? They'd sign them to a multi-label or multi-record deal, and they'd kind of work with an artist to grow them to a certain place. And now they kind of want to step in and see what's made money recently, and let's make you just as much like that as we can so we can all make money too. And so I don't think that would be a good home for us right now.
Mm-mm. Well, I agree, you know, in a lot of ways. I mean, that's kind of what I was intimating, but also the idea of being able to establish an independent career. I mean, once again, Arcade Fire, I believe they sold like 500,000 albums in a completely independent release.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of that is, you know, building community awareness, like coming here to perform for us today in the WJFF listening area. But, you know, we stream online, and it's just there's so many avenues. But it's such a positive, uplifting experience to listen to you perform. It's really quite a gift.
Wow.
It's really a gift. And I encourage our listeners to investigate the music of Barnaby Bright. And who knows, maybe they'll come back in a year or two, and we'll be so lucky to just get their time because they knew us before we knew them when they were no one. You know, maybe they'll come back someday, and, you know, we'll have to fight the paparazzi on.
No matter how big we would ever get, we'd always come back to the nation's only
hydro-powered
radio station in the entire country.
Right.
It's so nice to escape to such a beautiful setting like this. We live in Brooklyn, which, I mean, we don't see trees out of any of our windows. This is just beautiful. There's a little bug crawling on the windowsill. I mean, it's very picturesque.
We're so nature starved, bugs become like cute to us. Oh, look at
that. Well, you know, the open house here at WJFF was originally started as an open invitation for people to come and tour our facilities. And, of course, it is beautiful here. We sit right on the edge of Calicoon Creek, which runs quite quickly. You can see the dam and the water rushing over the dam. And you can sit here in the studio and the lights are on and the mics are running, and it's all because of the water flowing outside.
Mm.
It always inspires me to be here. All right, so I'd love to hear you play something else for us. What would you like to play?
Well, I guess we'll play that If I Came Back as a Song.
Wonderful, thank you.
The one that took third place in the singer-songwriter category 2007. Mm-hmm. And now, listeners, I'm going to sing this one. Bear with us.
Come back as a song, living a melody that would linger on and on. I'd make my home inside a folk record sleeve, Dylan's freewheeling from 1963, track two. So you could play me when I would wrap you up inside a happy sound. Riding on the airwaves, I would fly to you. Maybe then you'd love me too. If I came back as a song. Oh, yeah. shoot me from a cold satellite into a radio that you sleep by at night. And you would call out, this is my favorite song. And I'd be so happy watching you sing along. Let's do so. I could be the best something you ever had. Riding on the airwaves, I would fly to you. Maybe then you'd love me too. If I came back as a song.
So that's the song you broke out of your jazz.
That is the one.
Your jazz cage, man.
Yeah. My jazz Simple. Friends were not too impressed, I must say.
Yeah, that's a bouncy. That's just a little bit too poppy and
a
captivating.
Too happy.
Yeah, a little bit too happy for the jazzers. That's beautiful. Well, you know, we have time for another song if you want to just play something right away for us. Is something in mind?
What do you think? Okay. I guess we're going
to
do a new one.
It's a brand new one.
See,
perfect.
I love the hearing. We got to hear earlier, I Love You Softly, I think was the name of the song, mm-hmm. that they haven't quite recorded yet, and we're about to have another world premiere of a new Barnaby Bright song here on WJFF. If you're just tuning in, we're having a live performance by the singing-songwriting duo Barnaby Bright, which is Nathan and Becky Bliss. They live in Brooklyn, apparently, and they only come out of their house occasionally to perform. So,
anyway, yeah.
So we're lucky that they've come all the way from Brooklyn here to our studios in Jeffersonville. So let's hear another song from Barnaby Bright.
So we played this the first time in front of people at Falcon Ridge Folk Festival, one of our favorite things and places to play. And this tells a story about a good man who's had a rough bit of luck and a He's trying to get his life on the right track when something really bad happens to him on a stretch of road called Highway 9. It's called Highway 9.
Thank you.
9.9. Barnaby Bright, live in our studios. Okay, that's a great energy in that song. Now, you were saying you've been listening to claw hammer banjo stuff. To me, that sounds very much like a blues-inflected mid-America, Midwestern.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that very much is. You know, when I got the claw, I got the banjo just a couple of days ago, and the first time I did this, I started working out this song. I was like, wow, I wrote a claw hammer tune on the guitar because it fits perfectly in like a modal tuning of the...
Okay, so now you're tuning your guitar to an open tuning.
An open D.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you're not looking at any sheet music anywhere
ever again.
And so he's learning to play the banjo, people, and he's probably open tuning on that too.
Oh, you betcha. That's all I know.
What's funny is he's learning on a banjo guitar, which is actually it looks like a banjo, but it's strung like a guitar.
Yeah, and tuned like a guitar.
But he just got a real one, so now the real work begins.
All right. Well, that's a new song in progress, apparently. Huh?
Yeah,
that's so exciting.
Yeah, it's fun.
God, I hope you've enjoyed their performance today as much as I have here in our studios. We're really, really lucky to have such a talented duo with us today here on WJFF Open House. I hope now they're playing this evening in Belvedere, New Jersey at the Buffstock Music Festival. Mm-hmm. If you have any chance to get in your car and go hear them, you know, I hope that you will. And you can also check them out online at barnabybright.com.
Facebook.
You can download their song,
Gravity.
Don't Look Down, and you can also download Gravity on iTunes. So thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thanks for having us.
This
is a real
beautiful
treat.
Setting, yeah. Great station. We love being here. Can't wait to come back.
All right, great guys. Well, stay tuned here on WJFF. Coming up is The Splendid Table at 4 p.m., followed by All Things Considered at 5 p.m.
Support for this program comes from our listeners and from the Fat Lady Cafe, lunch and dinner on the waterfront in Conneaugh Lake, New York.
This is 90.5 FM WJFF, Jeffersonville, New York, and 94.5 FM W233AH, Monticello, New York, and streaming live online at wjffradio.org.
Support for this program comes from our listeners and from Matthews on Main in Calicoon, New York. Food, bar, happiness. On the web at matthewsonmain.com. And from the River Reporter newspaper in Narrowsburg, New York.
It's The Splendid Table from APM, American Public Media. I'm Lynn Rossetto Casper, and I've seen another example this week of never accept the status quo, even from the most reliable sources. Today we talk ice cream, the coolest, dreamiest, creamiest ice cream, but it doesn't follow the rules from classic ice cream school. This ice cream is easy to make at home with a $45 ice cream maker, no less. Now you're going to meet a woman who step by step figured out a goof-proof formula and built a business on it. Who knows? Maybe you're going to do the same thing. But either way, it's a great lesson in trusting your own ingenuity. Well, stay with us for this and a lot more this hour on The Splendid Table.
You're tuned to 90.5 FM WJFF in Jeffersonville, New York. Temperature outside our studio is a temperature that I can't quite determine because I don't know where they've hidden the... gauge, but it's something around 70 degrees. Fingers pointing, but I can't tell. At any rate, mostly cloudy with the rest chance of showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, chance of thunderstorms continuing an 80% likelihood, as you know if you're driving.